Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Michelin Cross Climate 2. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre, Straight Fire, for Tuesday, March 21st. I know everybody had four straight days and nights of college basketball just draining. Everybody was happy to finally break free. I mean, listen, you love it, and then you get a break, and then all of a sudden the World Baseball Classic, you turn it on, and what a thriller on Monday night. Mexico-Japan, unbelievable game, great finish. Japan with the walk-off. Just, I mean, I'm sure you guys were on social media and saw the call by the Japanese announcers. Just freaking out. It's a semifinal victory, and they were treating it like it was the greatest victory in the history of the sport. You love it. And now tonight, Japan-USA in the finals should be a good one on FS1. We have a great podcast today. One of my favorite guys to bump into in the halls of Fox Sports, Casey Jacobson, legend at Stanford, total bucket getter, awesome story, McDonald's All-American, goes to Stanford. I believe in the first month he was playing college basketball, he gave Duke 25 at the Garden. I think it was Duke. Might have been UNC. I'll have to look it up. But it was just an incredible performance. It was like, Casey Jacobson can go. And then he ends up in the league, and he plays in the NBA, and now he's an announcer. And I'm not going to lie, I have tried to recruit him to my men's league team. Yes, that is the truth. I told him after, this fella gave us 47 and we lost a couple weeks back. I said, Casey, you know, next season we might need you. My guy Matt Leinart, by the way, has reached out, said, J-Mac, I need to get in on the action. We are leveling up constantly around here. Just got to put that out there. Shady McCoy at FS1 has sworn he could play and dunk. He's like, I will dunk on people. But he's like, where's the games? Torrance? Man, that's a hike from where I'm at. You know, Shady McCoy, young guy. I still think he's young. He's in his early 30s, and he's like, you know, going out and living the dream, as the young people say out here in L.A. But a great podcast with Casey Jacobson talking college hoops. Purdue fans, sit tight. It's a tough one about Matt Painter, but Casey Jacobson has some good insight. He's even got two teams that'll open number one and number two next season. Two teams you could not guess right now if I gave you five choices. But before that, just a couple news items we'll get to before Casey Jacobson. Number one, obviously World Baseball Classic was great. I was flipping between some NBA and World Baseball Classic. And oh, by the way, so my son got into chess. You know, during the pandemic, we would play. And obviously, listen, I played a lot of chess growing up. So I would crush him. And I would like let him hang around, and then I would beat him. He's been playing a lot on the DL. He's been playing with some of his buddies at school. He plays on chess.com. And all of a sudden he starts telling me that, like, listen, I'm beating people. I'm good. Let's play. Let's play. And I was like, listen, I'm watching NCAA tournament. I can't play you in chess, Bryce. I can't. He just turned 12. He's all excited. And so I'm like, all right, let's play. So we play on Monday. And I was like, okay, you've gotten a little better. And I was kind of asleep at the wheel. We were watching catching up on Bel Air, and he beats me. I'm like, all right, we need a rematch. We play again, and he does this move, and he's like telling me what the move is called, and I'm like, okay, that's nice. I don't know what that is. And next thing I know, he's got like four of my pieces with after like six moves, and he beats me a second time. And at that point, I said, okay, I need to pause the TV. I got to strap in. My guy is getting good at chess. And then I checkmated him. But it was to the point where afterward, I started Googling like chess tournaments in the LA area. And my wife found some stuff online. Like, listen, he got good at it pretty quickly. And he's kind of like me. When he gets something, he's like a dog on a bone. I'm on it. And he is just digging into chess, playing all the time. And I don't know. I kind of feel like it's fun playing my son in chess when he knows what he's doing. Now, we'll see how far this goes. Again, I was never a chess expert. I like to play a lot. Far from an expert. I like to talk a good game. I think I'm better at ping pong than I am chess, but I like chess. Thinking man's game. Ping pong is just sheer skill. And I'm lobbying, by the way, to get a ping pong table on the Herd set. I'm getting some pushback, as you would expect, but I'm pushing for it. I'll keep you posted on what happens. At any rate, I'll get to Cam Newton in a sec. NBA, you don't pay attention to the NBA 4 days because the NCAA tournament, actually it was like 6 days because the lead-in, the brackets, the Calcutta, everything. All of a sudden, there's like 10 games left in the NBA regular season. And my buddy texts me, regular listener of the podcast. He's like, hey, can you go to the Lakers game with me Wednesday night? I was like, well, I don't know, who are they playing? He's like, Suns. I was like, oh my gosh. I don't think I can make it. It's my son. You know, we got the semifinals and the championship this weekend in his local basketball league. So, you know, Wednesday's our final practice. And so I'm like, I'm a TBD. Maybe it rains. We'll see. And then I'm like, oh, let me see what's going on in the NBA. And all of a sudden, like, the Lakers fans were so excited a few days ago. And then after the results of Monday night, you wake up on Tuesday morning, Lakers fans, you are officially out of the playoffs. You are now the 11th seed because the Utah Jazz beat the Kings. They were destroying the Kings by like 40. Kings came back, took the lead, then the Jazz pulled away. And you look at the box score, you're like, who are these guys playing for the Jazz? And then it's Ochai Agbaji. Remember the kid who was in Kansas last year in the Final Four hitting a bunch of threes? Yeah, he's starting for the Utah Jazz at 27 points. Crazy. You look at the lineup, you're like, are these guys tanking? How on earth are they competing with the Lakers? It was a bit of a wild night. So Julius Randle, 57 for the Knicks. And they lose at home to Minnesota. And Minnesota doesn't have Anthony Edwards, no Karl Anthony Towns. And they lose with Randle having 57. And they played no defense whatsoever. Minnesota shot like 60% from the field. Some insane numbers. But this is March NBA for you. Nobody's trying. This is my favorite thing. Oh, I got a bunch of texts about this. You've got to see this Kyrie Irving bucket. I'm like, oh, maybe he dunked on someone. And it's like a pretty ridiculous lay-in. And he's got all the jelly, you know, he like with the English off the glass. It looks cool. I look at the score later, and they lose to the Grizzlies. Kyrie Irving, are you ready for this? Point guard Kyrie Irving, 28 points, 0 assists. Like, what? What kind of game? What is he doing? 28 points, no assists for Kyrie Irving. I'll leave it at that. The Warriors, for the seven of you that care, won their first road game in 2 months. It's funny. I looked at this line, not that I'm betting on NBA, but I was like on a betting high from the weekend. Hey, I was winning 3 out of 4 days betting on the tournament. And I saw that the Warriors were favored by like 11 and 11 and a half, and they had not won a road game in 2 months. And I'm like, well, I know the Rockets are like tanking, but this is ridiculous. 11 and a half, I didn't touch it. And they win by 13. And I was like, damn, Vegas, that's pretty impressive. And listen, I know it's the Houston Rockets and they want to make sure they're in the Wembanyama sweepstakes. But nevertheless, 11 is a lot to lay on the road for a team that's won on the road in 2 months. At any rate, Lakers-Suns Wednesday is now a big, big game. All right, and finally, let's quickly get to Cam Newton, who announces that he's going to be throwing at Auburn's Pro Day. Yes, that's 33-year-old Cam Newton, who turns 34 in May, who did not play in the NFL last season. Repeat, Cam Newton wants to get back in the NFL, did not throw in the NFL last season. Didn't play. I don't think he was on a roster. And he said, there aren't 32 MFers better than me in the NFL. And of course, you know, the reaction is, well, of course, he's Cam Newton. He won an MVP. And let me check the calendar here. 2015? Was TikTok even around in 2015? I mean, let's be serious. A 2015 MVP in the NFL. Wonderful. Well, Matt Ryan was the MVP more recently than that. He ain't even on a roster. And all these people are like, well, do you think Cam could get a spot in the NFL? What do you mean, do I think? He's 34 in May. So he'll be 34 and a half when the season starts. What is he going to do? Hold a clipboard? He's going to be the backup quarterback? If you're talking about him as like a goal line specialist, maybe somebody could get creative there. He did have 12 rushing touchdowns with Belichick and the Patriots in the COVID year. But he turns 34 in May. You guys can't be serious. Between injuries, bouncing around, he was Carolina, New England, and back in Carolina. In the last 4 years, and one of them he didn't even play, he has 12 touchdown passes. And in the immortal words of Jerry Seinfeld, and you want to be my latex salesman? Like, seriously, Cam Newton's going to start? No way. I mean, if your goal is to tank for Caleb Williams, and you want to maybe sell some tickets, sell some merch, sell some jerseys, okay, maybe you've got something. But you're definitely not trying to win if you bring on Cam Newton as your starting quarterback. I mean, hell, I don't even know that. Like, who's he? Is he beating out Desmond Ridder? And you guys can scoff and be like, oh, Desmond Ridder, give me a break. Desmond Ridder is like a young kid who was in the system last year and is like a capable thrower of the quarterback, of the football. Desmond Ridder could be a quarterback in the NFL. Is he a starter next year for like a winning team? I don't know. Atlanta won 7 games last year. They started Mariota, who's bounced from the team. They were able to win 7. Like, where is there an opening for Cam? If the thought is, hey, we'll make him our goal line specialist, I don't know if rosters even keep a third quarterback most weeks, because, you know, you need the special teams guys, defense, offensive line, like the premium positions. You can't have Cam Newton active and then maybe he gets in on a play on the goal line. Is he going to move to tight end? Like, I just don't see the value. Like, at Arizona Cardinals team, I don't know what they're doing at quarterback. Kyler Murray definitely will not be around early. Like, L.A. Rams, do you have Cam as the backup for Stafford? I mean, Baker's gone. I don't know. I can't find a team, and I can't find a situation where he is the backup quarterback and takes that as like, hey, I'm going to be the backup, and then, you know, he's sitting for 7 weeks not playing at all. I don't see that. Cam Newton's made a lot of money. I'm sure he's got a lot of opportunities post-football. And I don't see him cracking back in the NFL. So, good luck at the pro day. Show everybody what you are capable of throwing against air. And Cam Newton will always be a legend in my mind. The dab, I give full credit to that, to Cam Newton. That was like a thing big time for a couple years. It was in a bunch of rap songs. I'll never forget him courtside dabbing players. It was cool. It was very fun. It was a cultural moment, and I'm happy for Cam Newton, but the NFL ship has sailed, buddy. All right, without further ado, let's get to our guest, the legendary Stanford sniper, Casey Jacobson.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my game.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Explore a wide selection of luxury spirits, wine, and champagne at ReserveBar.com. Elevate your gifting this year with rare and exceptional bourbons, tequilas, scotch, wine, champagne, with personalized engraving, exceptional glassware, and more. From wines to whiskeys, there's a bottle for everyone. For a limited time, save $20 on your order of $150 plus with the code IHEART at ReserveBar.com.
You know a guy.
Jason likes to think he knows everything when it comes to sports.
I know what sports fans want.
But for everything he doesn't, he knows a guy who does.
Let's just say I know a guy who knows a guy who knows another guy.
All right, let's welcome into Straight Fire a Fox Sports College basketball analyst. He was a legend at Stanford. I think he's been on the podcast every March Madness, so we got to bring him back. Played in the NBA, Casey Jacobson. What is up, my man?
J-Mac, it's really good to be with you. A lot is up. If you're watching the tournament, man, none of this stuff makes sense. You know, one of the hardest things to be is a college basketball expert or analyst, man. I know a lot about these teams, J-Mac, but I have no idea how this is all going to play out, man. It seems like it's totally random at times, but fun nonetheless.
Yeah, I've seen some of the ratings have been massive. I mean, listen, upsets help. You know, when Purdue's losing to FDU, historic stuff, people are tuning in. When Princeton's shocking Arizona, you know, the interest is up. Obviously, brackets are torched. I am in your buddy Josh Willis's group for a bracket challenge. Are you in that one by any chance?
I am not, no.
Okay. I just so happen to be leading it. That's why I brought it up. I don't have it in front of me. I'll call it up in a moment, but I think I might have Texas in that one.
Okay.
And Texas Houston, assuming Texas gets by a pretty damn good Xavier team. I think that's going to be a great matchup. I do want to start here. The parity seems to be as good as it's ever been. I saw that 11 different conferences are represented, some insane number like that. I think that might be a record. What's jumped out to you as like the big takeaway from opening weekend?
I would agree with you on that. And by the way, J-Mac, that is a record. 11 different conferences in a Sweet 16 is a record. Also a record before this tournament started, over 220 times a ranked team, so a team ranked in the AP top 25, lost. That is a record since the AP started keeping track of this, I think in like the 1950s or something like that.
Wow.
So that narrative of there is more parity, there is no clearly dominant team, is out there. I would push back a little bit on it. I think Alabama is clearly, I think, established themselves on the floor as the most balanced team and the most dangerous team. Now, they have vulnerabilities, and we can get into that if you want. And then I would put Houston second on that list. Despite their injury, whether or not Marcus Sasser is healthy, Jamal Shedd, their point guard, also dealing with a knee issue, you know, their health is a problem. But those two guys both played, J-Mac, in the round of 32. Yeah. They both played, and they both played pretty well. I think that region is Houston's to win or lose, but does it surprise me that Purdue and Kansas both lost? No. In fact, in my personal bracket, I had both of those number one seeds losing in the second round. I didn't predict it to happen to Purdue in the first round. Couldn't see that coming, but I did see some vulnerabilities there for whatever reason. And other teams, the last thing I'll say about it, Jason, is this. These teams, Fairleigh Dickinson and Princeton, whatever, college basketball is older at the mid-major level and has been older for the last 2 years, as old as it's ever been. And when you get that old, you are less likely to, you know, succumb to, bad shots or weird mistakes that younger teams have at the end of games. And I think we're seeing that unfold.
Yeah, Virginia fans wish Kihei Clark had been thinking like a veteran on his grenade against Furman. Terrible mistake. Who do you think is more susceptible, Houston or Alabama? I don't think Alabama's in that much trouble against SDSU, but you've seen a lot of Creighton, and I think they match up really well with Bama. Kaluma on Miller, you got the seven-footer against Bediako. I hope I said his name right. And then the guard matchups, like... Yep. Bediako, thanks. The Creighton guards have played a tremendous. I thought they were better than the Baylor guards. Is Creighton a major problem? I think they're like plus three, maybe like plus 185 to win that region.
Man, I've loved Creighton since the start. You know, you remember, J-Mac, they were ranked in top 10 in the preseason for a reason, right? Because last year they lost to the national champions, Kansas, in the second round. And they looked every bit as an up-and-comer. And they brought back the entire starting five from a season ago. Creighton has all the pieces. I would say the one thing that maybe you could say where they're shaky compared to an Alabama, Creighton is one of the least deep, or let's call them the most shallow team that is still in the NCAA tournament. They rely so heavily on their starting five of Baylor Shireman and Ryan Kalkbrenner, Trey Alexander, Ryan Nembhard. And they bring Francisco Farabello off the bench, Mason Miller, who's injured, but they don't really ask those guys to do a lot. And Greg McDermott, their head coach, gives them kind of a short leash. If they're not producing or they're not playing well right away, he's going to pull them out and ride those five. And Alabama, I think, can wear you down. I mean, they bring in Javon Quinterly off the bench, one of the better and older point guards in the tournament still left. They have him coming off the bench for them. That's kind of where those two teams stack up. The thing with Alabama is what's impressed me, Jason, is they shoot a lot of threes. That's Nate Oates, their head coach. His style is kind of like a Villanova style. Let's shoot the threes as much as we can. In transition, in half court, we want to shoot it up. But even when they have struggled, and of course, any team in the country is going to struggle and have those bad nights every now and then, they are still able to win games with a top five defense in the country. That's what separates Alabama from Houston and everybody else and from Creighton is they can really push through an off shooting night with athleticism and defense that's on a string and offensive rebounds and all that stuff. That's why I'm really bullish on Alabama after watching them. And you know, Brandon Miller didn't even play well in his first game. He went scoreless in the first round and they didn't even seem to miss him. They still put up 90 plus points.
Yeah. I don't want to go too deep on the Big East here. Three teams in the Sweet 16, Xavier and UConn, which looks really, really good. Yeah. I'm just so disappointed in Marquette. I don't know how closely you watch that game. Colette got an early foul trouble and was a total non-factor. Did you watch much of that? Because I really didn't think Sparty would be able to pull that off, and they played tremendous.
I watched the whole game. Jason, I'm a total basketball junkie. I can't watch every single second of every single game, but when it comes to Big East teams, I'm all in, right? I cover it for FS1. And those aren't a game. That's not a game I'm going to miss. I was really fascinated to see how Marquette would deal with the pressure of being a top 10 team in the country. And coming in, like, I don't know if we talked about this before, but not a single player in a Marquette uniform had ever won a postseason game going into the Big East tournament last week in New York City. Now they won the Big East tournament, so that was great, but none of them had ever won a NCAA tournament game.
Damn.
And so this is a different stage. You can't deny that. It comes with a different kind of pressure. And what I noticed about the Marquette game was Tyler Kolek. I thought he looked a little bit tentative. Now, I've seen him perform in the first half and kind of be a non-factor, whether it be from foul trouble, or he has a tendency of being a guy that's, I'm going to create and pass in the first half. I'm going to set everyone else up, make sure they're all good. Their bellies are nice and full. And then in the second half, I can now be the one to be a little bit more aggressive with my shot. I've seen that pattern from him throughout this season, and he's done it really well. he could never get in a rhythm the other night. And then in the end, he kind of looked like he was not only a non-factor, he looked a little bit overwhelmed by the moment and wasn't even close to his normal self. It happens. It happened to Arizona against Princeton as well. A lot of guys on the Arizona Wildcats were playing hot potato at the end of in the last 4 minutes of that game. J-Mac, they were like, no, you take it. I don't want it. Somebody else shoot it. And that was sad to see because Marquette, look, man, Marquette's been a solid team. And the last thing I'll say about this, I understand that Shaka Smart has lost 8 of his last 9 tournament games, and the one that he won was the first round game this year. Like, I understand it. That's a big number.
I didn't know it was that bad. Holy cow.
Yeah. Yeah. So I get it, that that's a large sample size. Like, we have to ask some questions about what's going on there. However, let me just say about this Marquette team, they were unranked to start the preseason. They were selected 9th by the coaches, not by us or you, but by the Big East coaches to finish 9th in the Big East this season. What Shaka Smart did was truly remarkable. They achieved, they shot above their level. And so because of that, they got a 2 seed. Because of that, expectations ramped up, and they lost in the second round, which happens to a lot of good teams in the tournament. It happens. But because of the expectations changed, now it's a huge deal. If you would have asked Shaka Smart and Marquette fans before the season started, hey, you guys are going to get make the tournament, you're going to get win at least one game, would you have taken it? They probably would have said yes.
Heck yeah. I'm just looking. I didn't even realize this. They did not have a senior in the starting lineup. Cam Jones is a sophomore, Kolek a junior.
They don't have a senior on their entire roster, J-Mac. Wow. Marquette is going to be either the number one or the number two ranked preseason team in the country next year.
Damn. I wish I had noticed. That's a great nugget. No experience in March. And it showed against, as soon as they fell down early against Michigan State, it was like, oof, lights out. Wrapping up the Big East, UConn. I thought St. Mary's would have a chance. They had that mysterious injury. The guy went down with the back injury. And yeah, it felt like that kind of flipped the game, and then Hawkins went bonkers late. Where are you on UConn, which the question for them is guard play? And I don't know. Everybody seems to like them against Arkansas, but those Arkansas guards have a big advantage in this one. I don't know, man.
It's one of my favorite. There's a lot of really good Sweet 16 matchups, but this UConn-Arkansas one is right up there. To me, the number one is UCLA Gonzaga. For me, I'm a West Coast guy. I can't wait to watch that matchup. But probably number two on my list is the Arkansas-UConn game. I like UConn a lot. Look, this is nothing like a 4 seed. This is the best 4 seed in an NCAA tournament that I can remember in a really long time. And I've been working 9 years with Fox, and like they're a top 5 team in the country. Yet they got a 4 seed because they took on some losses in January in the Big East Conference. But this team is healthy. They play inside out. And so your point is well taken, J-Mac. Like, I am concerned about the backcourt. I have similar questions about UConn's backcourt as I did about Arizona's backcourt with Kirk Reese and Courtney Ramey, kind of like that, when they go up against these really big teams that can take them away and force the guards to be the decision makers. Yeah, can Tristan Newton do it? Is Jordan Hawkins going to have a good shooting night? Joey Calcaterra, they bring him off the bench. And when he's going, it's pretty cool. But when he's not, they attack him on defense and whatnot. But UConn is so good defensively, and Andre Jackson Jr. is as good athletically as a role player as you'll find. They check a lot of boxes. But look, man, a one-game scenario, it's like absolutely can Arkansas and Devo Davis, who's one of my favorite guards in the country, can he take the game? We'll see.
So on this West Coast thing, where are you on UCLA Gonzaga? Because the UCLA big guy, I'll let you say his name. The guy with the mask. Yeah, Bona. He played like 20 minutes, did not look 100%, and now a brutal matchup against Drew Timmy, who's like the quintessential college basketball player. I just feel like that's a big edge for Gonzaga, man.
You are right on it. And I'll go even deeper, J-Mac, on it. Adem Bona is really important to what UCLA does. However, what his strength is his athleticism, his high motor. He plays super hard. He's really long and active. Watch him guard pick and rolls. Like, he's up showing his body, his chest to the ball handler, and then he recovers really quickly in a way that you don't see a lot of big guys do. But what is Adem Bona's weakness on defense? He is undisciplined, and I would categorize him as wild. And what can't you do when you're guarding Drew Timmy is be undisciplined and wild, because this guy's Kevin McHale, man. He's the Kevin McHale of college basketball. His footwork is just perfect. His patience is amazing. I mean, if you watched Drew Timmy operate against TCU, who's a pretty dang good and physical and strong defensive team, they had no answers for him. You cannot guard Drew Timmy one-on-one. So to your point, for UCLA, can they hold Drew Timmy to about 20? To me, if Drew Timmy scores 20-ish, like 20, 18 points, UCLA is going to win. If he scores 28, 30 points, UCLA is in big, big trouble. But like, to me, UCLA is they are a better team. I understand that Jalen Clark is not in the lineup. I get it. They're still a better overall team. And I love what Amari Bailey has been bringing to the table. The freshman from Sierra Canyon has taken over that role that Johnny Juzang and Jules Bernard kind of vacated from last year's team, that score. And did you notice, J-Mac, that Amari Bailey's had 6 assists in both of the tournament games?
Oh.
He's not just a scorer. He's also a creator. He has grown leaps and bounds since when I first saw him in November and December.
Yeah, he was tentative. I mean, I would look at the box score because I remember he was playing with LeBron's son. And I would see the box score at UCLA, and he's like barely doing anything. I was like, what's going on? But I guess, you know, he's got to defer to the older guys. Let me quickly ask you, have you heard anything about the Singleton injury? Is it an ankle?
It is an ankle. And he said after the game, he was walking around in the locker room post game, and he said he's going to be fine. They have 4 days to prepare, so he will be playing. Yes.
Okay, because that's big. Because they talk about no depth. Yep. The big kid, Nwaba. I mean, if Bona is wild, I don't know what Nwaba is. He's just a foul machine out there every 2 minutes. I just do wonder, how do they match up with Jaquez? Like, who on Gonzaga can take him? Because Gonzaga's, their wings are good, but they don't seem like they play a lot of defense. I mean, nobody on the team does.
Yeah, it is one of their weaknesses. Yeah, Julius Strother, it has the size, either him or Anton Watson, but neither one. I think Watson's a better defensive player than Strother. Strother is one of their better scorers. He averages like 18 points a game for the Zags. They have the height, but again, do they have the discipline and the defensive chops to be able to do that for 40 minutes? No one's been able to slow down Jaime Jaquez Jr. He affects the game in so many ways. One of my favorite college basketball players over the last 2 years, I would say. A guy that, like, I would love to be Jaquez's teammate. Sometimes I wish he would shoot more and be a little bit more selfish, but he's just an awesome winning player. And
that's a perfect word, winning player. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a winning player, and he's the heart and soul. I mean, people want to say Tiger Campbell is the heart and soul because he's the point guard, but Jaime Jaquez Jr. is the heart and soul of UCLA. And you remember last year when UCLA lost to North Carolina in the Sweet 16, and Jaime Jaquez, his ankle was shot. He was like, I think it was 1-for-10 from the field or something. He was hobbling around. They win that game last year. They eliminate the Tar Heels from the tournament if Jaime Jaquez Jr. is healthy. He is now healthy. I'm picking the Bruins in this one.
That was the game Caleb Love went bonkers late. That one hurt. I had money on UCLA. I had them in my brackets. I know UCLA's favored by a little bit, but it just feels like, I mean, Casey, this is an offensive sport at this point, basketball. Mm-hmm. And it seems like everybody's taking the defensive-minded Bruins, but we know better offense wins, right?
Yeah, well, I'm always of the opinion that you got to have some balance. Don't give me a team that can only play defense or a team that can only play offense. That's why Iowa gets bounced in the first or second round every year. They're a top 10 offense, but they can't play D. And that's why some teams, you know, like Tennessee's in the Sweet 16 this year, but like Rick Barnes has had some trouble getting Tennessee out of the first couple rounds because they're always really good defensively. They can't put the ball in the basket. So I want balance, and that's why I like Alabama. That's why I like Houston, and that's why I like UCLA. All three of those teams are the most balanced teams left in the field.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18, my first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boog. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be
That's
my
game. Game.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Explore a wide selection of luxury spirits, wine, and champagne at ReserveBar.com. Elevate your gifting this year with rare and exceptional bourbons, tequilas, scotch, wine, champagne, with personalized engraving, exceptional glassware, and more. From wines to whiskeys, there's a bottle for everyone. For a limited time, save $20 on your order of $150 plus with the code IHEART at ReserveBar.com.
I want to go off the board real quick. So I got a couple buddies out here who went to Purdue, and they are just over Matt Painter. And I need, again, he's been there for like 15 years. And they've had some really good seeds. They've had some brutal postseason losses. And it's not necessarily just losing a tournament game. But the biggest complaint that I've heard is he's unyielding when he needs to change. He refuses to come out of man-to-man with the 7'4" kid, Edie, and play zone when all they were doing, FDU, putting him in action and just abusing him. And I guess offensively, down the stretch, some of the numbers, I mean, Casey, it was brutal. They only were jacking threes. Now, they were not terrible shots, but they're missing all of them. And you've got the tallest player in college basketball against the shortest team. I don't know. I don't expect you to kill Painter here, but any thoughts on just, you know, how he should deal with this going forward? And maybe he does need to change. Maybe Purdue needs a new coach. I don't know.
Hey, I'm of the opinion that we're all unfinished products. J-Mac, you are still learning and growing as a broadcaster. Oh. Most of these coaches should be taking the stance where I'm an unfinished product. What I do can be tweaked. It can be adjusted for the better. If what I'm doing worked 5 years ago, but it's not working now, why is that? And let's change. One of my favorite coaches ever, Jay Wright. You know, what you saw Villanova do in the last, let's say, 8 years under Jay Wright was not what they were doing the first 5 years that he coached at Villanova. He changed his philosophy based on analytics and based on studying the game and saying, you know what, the players that I bring in, the caliber of players I bring in, they're not five stars. Jay Wright didn't have a lot of five stars. In fact, Jalen Brunson was the only McDonald's All-American he had during that like stretch of run. With the caliber of athlete that I have, what is the best way to play and win titles in the Big East and in the NCAA tournament? And he thought it was, all right, what we're going to do, we're going to go smaller. Maybe we'll have a shot blocker, but we're mostly going to go smaller. We're going to play one-on-one basketball. We're going to shoot a ton of threes. We're going to keep our turnovers low, and we're going to get to the foul line. That's our formula. And they did it, and they replicated it. So he changed. He adjusted. So going back to Matt Painter, first of all, J-Mac, that game was brutal to watch. They were so scared. The backcourt of Purdue were so scared to make any plays. They couldn't get – you're telling me you can't get the ball to the 7'4 guy? Just throw a lollipop pass. I don't care how it looks. get Zach Edey touches. That is half on Matt Painter. It's half on the players that were on the floor. I don't care what your coach is telling you, what kind of plays are drawn up. You got to get your big man some touches, even if he gets double or triple teamed. We got to get him some touches. So that was flat out embarrassing what I saw. For him to not get a shot attempt in over 9 minutes, the last 9.5 minutes of that game, was embarrassing. And it's on everybody, not just Matt Painter, but I guess he's the coach and the leader of this program. Yeah. But J-Mac, can I also say, similar to Shaka Smart, this Purdue team shouldn't have been any good to start this year. Not have That's been right. a top 25 team. They should not even have been in the running for Big Ten conference regular season championship or tournament. Like, it's ridiculous that Zach Edey, surrounded by just Jags, just another guy, got this far. And so it's what I'll say is it's the same thing I feel with Shaka Smart. What Matt Painter did with this Purdue team and built them up is the same thing that Shaka Smart did with the young Marquette team that wasn't expected to do anything. You build them up and then they come to the tournament and you're asking them to change now? Like, they won a bunch of games playing a certain way, and now all these fans want them to change now? It just seems unlikely. These fans that are asking for Matt Painter to change mid-game, weren't those the same fans that were cheering them on as they won the Big Ten regular season and tournament championship? You know what I'm saying? So there's some truth to what they're saying, but there's also, look, man, this Purdue team shouldn't even have been a number one seed. It's a miracle that they were a number one seed to begin with.
I know it's hindsight, but damn. I just, again, you put it out with Marquette. Purdue starting lineup, backcourt, freshman, wing, junior, Gillis, junior, Edey, junior. No seniors in the starting lineup, and then looks like one guy off the bench is a senior. Now, maybe they announced that in the telecast. I'm like watching at a bar or, with friends or whatever, so I wasn't listening, but that's staggering to me. So I think your point is spot on. I think Fran Fraschilla mentioned this on the pod last week, that this is, the tournament for 22 and 23-year-olds. A lot of old dudes, a lot of old heads are really crushing. I do, before you get out of here, I have to ask, because I just love this stuff. I hope it's not too prying too much, but I love the recruiting story. So obviously I've done my homework on you. I know you work with me and everything. But like when you were, torching it in high school and dominating, how many schools out west, like did the entire Pac-10 at the time come after you? Because I know your brothers had gone to college, I'm assuming you had maybe visited them and there was a lure to go there, but you were great, grade point average and everything. Was Stanford like a no brainer for you?
It wasn't a no brainer. Cause you remember Stanford wasn't really that good until Brevin Knight got him to a Sweet 16. I think it was 1996. Like Stanford wasn't on my radar.
Mad Dog Madsen maybe?
Well, I was teammates with Mad Dog. So we're in the same era.
Okay.
Yeah. It was Brevin Knight that, to me, is the most important player in Stanford basketball history. He kind of showed what was possible, got them to a Sweet 16. And then you thought, okay, they're not just a bunch of nerds. They actually can play ball and compete. Yeah. And then Arthur Lee, Mark Madsen, Peter Sauer, those guys kind of came in and changed everything. It's the reason why I went there. But to answer your question, I was recruited by everybody except one school in amongst all the top, and that was North Carolina. For whatever reason, North Carolina never reached out, never sent me a letter. Nothing, like not Dean a single Smith? Word. Yeah, so I don't know why that is. Nothing. Like, my dad was like, dude, do you know that every team in the top 25 in the country has sent you a letter except one? I was like, really? No. He's like, North Carolina. They have somebody in your position or they hate your guts. One of the two. So
Do you recall? I don't remember who they had in like 90. What were you, 99? 98?
Joe Forte was their shooting guard, a really good player, actually. So I played against North Carolina my freshman year in the NCAA tournament, and they beat us. So probably better that they signed Joe Forte instead of me.
Remember that guy left college? I think he left school early. He was drafted by the Celtics in the lottery. And then I never heard from him again. I don't know.
Yeah, wow. It's this is breaking news, J-Mac, but it's really hard to make it in the NBA, man.
What, it's very, very difficult. Yeah. But one other thing, go back to Zach Edey. So let's say Zach Edey, hears his podcast. Man, Casey, you said some smart stuff. Hey, I don't know what I'm going to do. Go to the NBA or come back to Purdue. What do you think? What advice would you give him?
So, every guy is different, and I don't know what his motivations are, right? So if he wants to move on and get paid, he can go to the NBA. I do think, by the way, I do think Zach Edey will have a place in the NBA. I do think he's an NBA player, not an NBA starter, but I actually think that a lot of teams could use somebody who's really smart, really big, and just an awesome locker room guy as well. Like, I think Zach Edey could be a really nice, solid bench player and would be worthy of a bottom of a first round pick. I would totally take a chance on him. I absolutely would do that. But with name, image, and likeness now, J-Mac, it's such a different decision. Drew Timmy made over $1 million this year from everything that I've understood.
For real?
Yeah. He made over $1 million playing at Gonzaga. Oscar Tshiebwe, really close to it. I think it was close to like $700,000 Oscar Tshiebwe made this year playing for Kentucky. I mean, these are the top of the sport, like the first team All-Americans, the faces of their respective programs. Zach Edey is on that level. And I don't know if that kind of money is available to him, but it's been available the last year to some of the biggest faces in the sport. Mm-hmm. So Zach Edey has a real choice to make there. If he wants to run this back and see if they can improve on the disappointment of this season and make some coin while he's at Purdue, I think it'd be a cool, it's a good spot for him to be in. You mentioned none of his other guys are seniors. Purdue's going to be awesome. If Zach Edey comes back, it'll be Marquette and Purdue, probably 1 and 2, which is interesting because those are the two teams that like we're talking right now is the most disappointing.
Yeah, Arizona's going to lose the big guy to the pros. Last question, Marquise Noel, Kansas State point guard. Is he your favorite or second favorite player left in the tournament?
You know, it's so funny. Like, I've been talking about Marquise Noel
all
season long on FS1. You can roll the tape. Kansas State and Jerome Tang, their head coach. I think it's a perfect marriage, J-Mac. Jerome Tang, it's his first coaching job. He's so free and loose with his guys. He has made an instant connection with Marquise Noel, his point guard, and said, man, the team is yours. When you're on the floor, you can take a bad shot. I'm still going to wrap my arms around you. You can throw behind the back passes. I'm all good with it. Be who you are. I'm not going to try and rein you in. And it's been truly remarkable to see one of the smallest players in the country. Marquise is 5'8" tall. I don't know how tall you are, J-Mac. I think you're a little bit taller than that.
I tower over him, yeah.
But we root for underdogs. We root for little guys. And when little guys are the most impactful player on the floor and they have a flair and a salsa about their game, then I can't take my eyes off them. And then you pair him with Keontae Johnson, one of the more athletic men in the game. And you got a team that not only is good, but they play with a passion, a joy, a love that other teams simply don't. I'm rooting for them.
Yeah, the Keontae Johnson, he's going to turn 24 here in 2 months. That's how – he's a grown man. You know, these guys are a lot older than – and by the way, Noel, you were spot on, definitely right about him. I do think there is a place in the league for him. Even if it's the end of the bench, the small guard, he tries so hard. Tenacious. I was seeing him grabbing rebounds against the Kentucky Bigs, man. That guy's awesome. He is so fun to watch.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope that he'll get a chance for certain. If he doesn't get drafted, he'll get a chance for certain in summer league. And, you know, where we've seen like guys like a Tyler Ulis, who played a couple of years for the Phoenix Suns. They get chances and they got to run with their chance. But he'll
make a lot of money overseas for sure. There's a lot of money to be made in international ball. Anyways, I've taken up a lot of your time. Casey Jacobson, Fox Sports. Great stuff on college basketball all season and continued success, my man.
Jason, you too.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander. Or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
The 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, is finally here.
With the first pick in the NFL Draft.
Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit.
They're looking to get a guy that they believe can change the game.
With NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Rocket Mortgage, official partner of the NFL Draft.